This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. Coming up, New Orleans takes a wrecking ball to its public housing complexes. The trouble is, some people are still living in some of them. First, though, it was a setback for the Bush administration yesterday in Miami. A federal judge declared a mistrial in the case of six men accused of supporting terrorism. After 9 days of deliberations, a jury acquitted one of the seven men charged with plotting to bomb federal buildings and blow up the Sears Tower in Chicago. The jurors were unable to reach agreement on the charges facing the other six men. NPR's Greg Allen has been following the trial. He joins us now from Miami. And Greg, these men were the so-called Liberty City Seven. And what went wrong with the government case against them?
Well, Madeline, from the beginning, this case was a little different from some other terrorism cases we've seen. These were seven men who spent a lot of time in Liberty City, in a kind of an impoverished part of Miami, spent time around a warehouse, and they were led by Narcile Batiste, kind of a self-styled religious leader who brought these men around. He was a contractor, gave them jobs sometimes. Even the government concedes they had no real plans. They had no weapons of any kind, military-style weapons at least, or really any ability to carry out the attack. I think one government official called it a plot that was more aspirational than operational. What happened is that a government informant approached Batiste, called himself Brother Muhammad. He was an Arab man. He said he worked for al-Qaeda, and he offered Batiste and his followers weapons, money, and vehicles if they would cooperate with them. And they asked Batiste and his followers to put together a list of the kinds of weapons that they would want, and Batiste put on there a number of weapons, including cash. And then the Arab man, Brother Muhammad, got Batiste and some of his followers to take pictures of some of the federal buildings in Miami. That was basically the federal case against them.
And I understand the defense was arguing that these men were essentially entrapped by this informant. Is that what won over the jurors?
Yes, and the idea of entrapment actually was one that the judge kind of kept off the table, but essentially that's what the jurors ended up looking at. The defense said all along that Batiste was looking just to scam these men. He saw them as a way to get some easy money, and on some of the notes he clearly put down he wanted $50,000 from these purported al-Qaeda representatives. And he, in some of the tapes that we heard in the trial, we heard over and over again him asking about the money. When's the money coming? And he seemed very happy to do whatever the men wanted him to do, including take an oath to al-Qaeda, as long as that money was forthcoming. And that really, and he was on the stand for 8 days, stuck to that story, and clearly the jurors paid some attention to that.
So Batiste being the ringleader of this group of men, the defense was basically arguing that he was trying to get money from this FBI informant.
That's right. And the defense for the other men said those men knew very little what was going on. Most of these conversations were between Batiste and the Brother Muhammad. And of course, since this was a conspiracy charge, they couldn't just convict Batiste. They would need at least one other man to go along with it.
Greg, wasn't there hard evidence, a videotape of the men taking an oath to al-Qaeda and promising all sorts of things? And didn't the jurors find that compelling?
Well, that videotape is one we saw a lot in the trial. They played it several times for the jurors. And the jurors, we spoke to some of one of the jurors, the jury foreman, yesterday, and he said that that was something they paid attention to. This was an oath. The government set up its own warehouse. They moved the men there. This is something done by Brother Muhammad, you know, the purported al-Qaeda representative. And then they videotaped the men, and Brother Muhammad had them take an oath to al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. One by one, the men got up and were videotaped giving their names and taking the oath, which, of course, was made up by the government. It's not a real al-Qaeda oath. And the jury paid a lot of attention to that, they said, but in the end, they decided that wasn't enough to convict these men.
Okay, one of the defendants was acquitted.
Right, this is one of the more peripheral members, a 32-year-old Liglinson Lamorin. He was one of what called by Batiste one of his soldiers. He was only on the edges of the group sometimes. He moved to Atlanta before the case broke and had gotten a job working there, trying to make a new life for himself. And I think the jury took some of that probably into account when they decided that he really wasn't a member, part of this conspiracy.
Okay, now what happens with the other six?
Well, the government says they're going to retry this trial, and the judge yesterday, Federal Judge Joan Leonard, said she's going to set January 7th as a trial date, which is actually very quickly. The jury foreman yesterday said that he wasn't sure that a new jury would do anything different than they did. They spent a lot of time on this case. They deliberated for 9 days. So I think the government's going to have to ask itself some questions here about what they want to do here. The various possibilities are just to retry it as it stands, the remaining six. It's possible that some defendants might be dropped so they could focus the case on Batiste and one or two of his top followers, or it's possible they might try to negotiate a deal with some of these men on lesser charges. So all that has to be worked out between now and when trial is set to begin on January 7th.
That's NPR's Greg Allen in Miami. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you, Madeline.